didn't the Bible say the last days would be called perilous times?
Show of hands, how many of you have gotten a COVID vaccine?
These are four healthcare workers from different hospitals in North Carolina.
Why not?
We don't know what the long-term side effects are.
It also hasn't been proven to be effective.
The CDC and many public health experts say that it's more than 90% effective.
They do say that. That hasn't proven to me to be true. I'm not going to just jump on a bandwagon with something that has not been tested.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with investigative journalist Leo Holman. Talk of a pending New World Order is not conspiratorial, it is biblical. The Bible talks about a coming one world government, so seeing shades of it forming should be no surprise. Jan and Leo talk about how such things as vaccine passports and other tactics of government overreach might fit into this narrative. Here is today's programming.
I am not overstating this. I can't say it forcefully enough. This is literally the end of human liberty in the West if this plan unfolds as planned. Vaccine passport sounds like a fine thing if you don't understand what those platforms can do. I'm CEO of a tech company. I understand what this platform does. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about the virus. It's about your data. And once this rolls out, you don't have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all. And what that means is it can be merged with your PayPal account, with your digital currency. Microsoft is already talking about merging it with payment plans. Your networks can be sucked up. It geolocates you everywhere you go. Your credit history can be included. All of your medical history can be included.
Well, I'm glad you can join me today for Understanding the Times Radio. I'll say more about that clip here in just a moment. It's Naomi Wolf. Many of us have watched the deterioration of society this last 1.5, going on 2 years, spurred on by this COVID madness. We are now in a fear-based society, which was the plan all along. So who came up with the plan? Well, I propose it was the globalist outfit called the World Economic Forum, headed by Mr. Klaus Schwab. You've heard me talk about them here repeatedly on this program. I further propose that they are racing towards the Great Reset. So what's going on now is probably the setup for the Great Reset. Ultimately, that will be global control by just a few global elite. Could that happen before what the Bible calls the tribulation, the 7-year time of trial on earth from which the church is absent? I don't know. That opening clip, again, was Naomi Wolf, and I often quote her, and I remind you that she is a leftist, but she is a leftist who gets it. She has warned for at least a year, if not a year and a half now, that if we keep pushing mandates, vaccine passports, etc., her warning is that all freedom will be gone eventually and soon. Folks, we're heading pell-mell into the mandates, the vaccine passports, and all freedom being gone. I've played the same clip a couple of other programs, but did you hear the passion in her voice? That's a passionate warning to freedom-loving people. So as a tech expert herself, she's warning that vaccine passports and all the things related to that are really about gathering data and tracking. Throughout the world, society is singling out right now the unvaccinated for punishment. That is, those who refuse the COVID vaccines. They face potential loss of jobs, loss of health care. Freedom of movement is going to vanish. Liberty in general is going to vanish. And those who support vaccine mandates and vaccine passports want to ostracize the unvaccinated from society. And they seek to apply maximum pressure to force the unvaccinated into compliance. Now, we have the global elite talking about their new world order. If you have followed the loss of freedoms in Australia, for example, I believe that that is a trial run for the new world order, you should be concerned. I'm going to talk about that this hour. Because recently, our own CDC has stated that they can perpetrate on Americans the kind of atrocities being implemented on Australians. And I'm going to read a few emails from Australia to let you know what's going on down there. It is beyond belief. So I may be labeled a sensationalist this hour. I want you to know one thing, and that is I hate sensationalism, okay? As we reference COVID vaccines, if you feel you should be vaccinated, go for it, folks. That's not the purpose of this program or this hour to tell you what to do when it comes to the vaccines. Many people are hesitant, and you know that because it's considered experimental. And many of us, myself included, have natural immunity, having had COVID-19. And that's something very few people are talking about. Some I know have been made very sick by the illness, and others, such as myself, not very sick, thankfully. So my guest for the hour is a journalist and author. His name is Leo Homan, and he's written extensively about all of these issues now for the last, certainly, year and a half. We're going to talk about them, and I'll tell you how to sign up and get his insightful investigative articles. And you do that at leohoman.com, but I'll say more about that a little bit later. Leo, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Jan. An honor to be on with you today.
Say, did you expect to see things come together as quickly as they have? That is, this setup for the reset, how fast it has morphed into reality?
No. Readers who have been following my articles would know that I have predicted a lot of what's going on starting back in April, May, June of last year. But not in my wildest imagination would I have thought that it would have taken place at quite the speed with which we've seen, Jan, over these last 12 months, certainly for the last 9 months since January, when we've gotten this new regime in Washington, and they are moving with breakneck speed.
Yeah. I think that was the turning point, obviously. New administration, new method to their madness. And here's what I've observed, Leo, is that some people are very willing to sacrifice almost anything in the name of health safety and health security, in the name of finding a job or keeping a job and maintaining a relatively peaceful, normal life. I mean, who can blame people who have invested 20, 30, even 40 years in a profession, maybe an airline pilot, teacher, nurse, other health professional, and now, if they don't toe the line, the game is over. The job will be over. Steady income will be over. Health insurance will be over. So who can blame most people for rightfully being very concerned and, again, wanting health safety and health security and their employment?
Right. The regime in Washington has used, along with their cohorts in the media, the state and federal bureaucracies, the carrot and the stick. Mm. Unprecedented, first time in history we've ever seen this level of manipulation of the public profile to get a certain specified medical treatment. We've seen the million-dollar lotteries. Some states are rolling out round two of the million-dollar lotteries now, where if you're vaccinated, you can qualify to win $1 million. The local county where I live in Georgia, which is 85% Republican, all but one of the county commissioners is Republican, they just unanimously passed a ordinance that taps into federal money that will pay every resident of this county $200 if they will just get the vaccine.
Okay.
And if you work for the county, they'll pay you $400. And all the private corporations, the big ones, have similar programs. Well, they'll pay you $100, $200 to get the vaccine. So we've seen nothing like this in history, but now they're rolling out the stick to go along with the carrot, and like you said, punishing people in every way imaginable who resist this onslaught of propaganda. And it's going to get worse because they have more tools in their toolbox that they still have not used, Jan. They've used the employment card with Joe Biden's 100 employee threshold. He says, if you work for one of these companies with 100 or more employees, you must get the vaccine. And from what I understand, 50 to 80% of the corporations who are that size are complying with it. But they have more tools in the toolbox. Joe Biden has admitted discussing his administration that they are considering shutting down interstate travel by motor vehicle to the unvaccinated.
Yep.
They have discussed shutting down air travel. And these are just the ones we know they've discussed. What about your driver's license renewal? What about your Social Security check if you're retired or disabled? They have so many more tools they can roll out, and I believe that they will continue to use every one of them until they have their goal reached. Just recently, Biden said, when he was asked what is threshold for which we can return to normal, and he said 97 to 98% need to be vaccinated.
Well, here's another left-wing lunacy. I want to play a clip here, and I think every talk show, both on radio and television, is playing this clip because it is so astounding. Governor of New York, Governor Hochul, her comments here very recently.
We are not through this pandemic. I wished we were, but I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love but to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools. I want you to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital and are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the virus from them. You're already sick or you wouldn't be there. We have to solve this, my friends. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can fight this pandemic, come back to normal, and then start talking about the real issues that we have to, fighting systemic racial injustice, which exists today. And if there's a denier, I will take you on any date because I've seen it. I know it exists. And we are not going to have a blind eye to this ever again, any longer under my watch. And that is my commitment to you.
So, Leo Homan, astounding comments by New York's Governor Hochul. Be my apostles. Go out and evangelize. Evangelize being to tell people to get vaccinated. The unvaccinated are not listening to God. And then ultimately, shockingly, the 1 minute, 30-second little soundbite ends with, let's get back to the real issue, which is systemic racism. That's what blew me away was the last few comments that she made there. Your thoughts on this?
If that wasn't blasphemy, Jan,
I know.
It walks right up about as close as you can get to being blasphemous. There were so many lies in that 1 minute and 30 seconds that I wouldn't know where to start to start unraveling them. But to tell those kind of lies and then attribute them to God, that is really outrageous. And I hope that people saw it for what it is.
You put out a lot of very cutting-edge articles, Leo. And again, you can sign up for those. You can read them at leohoman.com, H-O-H-M-A-N-N, leohoman.com. And you put some very, very interesting, thought-provoking words that you keep emanating from your blog, Leo. And I'm just quoting you here. You say this, the WHO, the World Health Organization, is working with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, or the CDC, on a digital health passport. We've already referenced some of those. These passports, you say, as we've covered in depth in previous articles, are meant for no other purpose than to track and trace the movement of people in real time, scooping up data along the way. By the way, folks, that's what Naomi Wolf, CEO of a tech company, said as I opened the program. Then you go on to say, Leo, this technology will be used to track not only the movement of people, but to monitor their need for the continuity of care, which foretells the World Health Organization's desire for continuous vaccines and booster shots in perpetuity for every man, woman, and child. And I want to stop right there because I want to just talk to you for a minute about what you just closed there with. The World Health Organization's desire for continuous vaccines and booster shots in perpetuity for every man, woman, and child. Okay, that's becoming more and more obvious, Leo, that these injections, they're going to be the rest of our natural life probably. What do you think is behind that? Why not just come up with something that really cures things? Of course, such things do exist. It's called hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, but vaccines in perpetuity?
Absolutely. That is the goal. How do I know that, Jan? Because I listen to the speeches, the interviews by Bill Gates.
Okay.
Bill Gates has been at this for a long time. He started investing in vaccines more than 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and he has admitted that vaccines are a lot more profitable than selling computer laptops. He claims a 20-to-1 profit margin off of vaccines. He was very active in the media circuit last year talking about what was going on with coronavirus, what was on the horizon. One of the things he said was that we could never get back to normal until we had the whole world vaccinated and that we implement some kind of, as he called them, digital vaccine yes. certificates, which is, as you know, the vaccine passport. So we knew that was coming. He also said that any coronavirus vaccine will take multiple doses. This was back in June or July of last year. So we knew that was in the offing, even though if you look at official government spokesmen, it was just this one vaccine, right? And that's all they talked about ad nauseum in the mainstream media. Get your vaccine. It was either one shot with J&J or two shots with Moderna or Pfizer. Now, after they get 70 to 75% of America vaccinated, they start talking about, well, the protection that you get from this vaccine, it starts to wane after 3 months, and within 5 or 6 months, it's pretty much gone as far as protecting you from this virus, so you need to get a booster shot. And they roll these things out just so incrementally in this country when you know the big picture because you're listening to Bill Gates like I am. And then you see the statements coming out of the FDA, the CDC, and the media. The two never seem to square up. So if you're tuned into this one world of just watching cable news, you're just hearing what is official, and you don't know what's coming. You have to be able to connect the dots. To do that, you need to be reading websites like leohoman.com. You need to be following Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. But how many people are doing this?
Right.
A small minority.
Right.
Bill Gates, everything he said last year is now coming to fruition this year. The goal is vaccines every 6 to 12 months. And if you look at Israel, they're now rolling out the third booster shot and talking about a fourth. Yeah, it's a reality, but don't listen to Fox News and CNN and these places to get your news or you will never know what's really going
on. Okay. As I said, some feel strongly about the safety of the COVID jab, and as a result, very recently, the National Guard is replacing healthcare workers in various places, certainly in New York, and as I referenced earlier, people are giving up lifelong careers rather than risk this injection, and that could result in serious consequences. Again, loss of employment has huge consequences, and as you said, Mr. Biden has stated, that America must have 98% vaccination rate. That's probably not going to happen unless we become Australia, and I want to visit that in a moment because that is actually my concern, is that America and other parts of the West are going to become Australia. Folks, I'm going to read a couple of emails from Australia to let you know what they are going through in the Down Under country. It is almost unbelievable. And if you just join me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I am Jan Markell. I have on the line from the East Coast, Leo Homan. We've referenced the source where you can find all of his articles, leohoman.com. Okay, Leo, Biden said he will use the U.S. Department of Labor to go after companies with 100 or more employees if they don't mandate the vaccine on their workers or require weekly testing. All sorts of consequences are going to ensue, including unspecified fines. He's also issued an open-ended threat to Republican governors using harsh rhetoric previously unheard of from American president, delivering it with a foreboding tone. He says, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way. My goodness. How far is the Biden administration going to push? I suspect they're going to keep pushing and pushing. I hate to keep saying it until we're Australia.
I think you're right, Jan. That is the goal. Australia, we see everything from women being tackled in the streets mm-hmm. by police because they're not wearing a mask, 12-year-olds being tackled and pepper sprayed by the police over there, people not being allowed to come out of their homes, and at different states and different places around the country, some are not allowed to go more than a 9-mile radius of their homes. Completely authoritarian, what we would call communist-type draconian edicts, and none of it being passed in terms of a formal law. We're not seeing the parliament or the Congress in these countries passing legitimate laws. It's just the leader who's sold out to this great reset, whether it be the Australian leader or Justin Trudeau Canada or Angela Merkel in Germany. These are the globalist politicians falling in line with the globalist World Health Organization, which we touched on a minute ago. Yeah. One thing I forgot to say when I referred to Bill Gates and the influence that he wields over the World Health Organization, why is that? Bill Gates is the largest private funder of the World Health Organization, and until Biden came in office replacing Trump, he was the largest funder, period. He was giving more money to the World Health Organization than even any government in the world, because Trump, as you know, had defunded the WHO. The influence is always all about the money. Follow the money, and you find out who's influencing who. So if you want to know what's going to come down to the World Health Organization, find out what Bill Gates is thinking. Okay. What is Bill Gates saying should be done? How should governments be handling the response to this virus? And then you know how the WHO will act. He also is a primary funder of the CDC.
Right.
So the CDC moves in lockstep with the WHO, accepting Bill Gates' money. This is what's going on, and we wonder why our healthcare system is so messed up and they're following these deadly protocols that are coming down from the CDC and the NIH. It's all tied together. And unlike Naomi Wolf, I'm not a tech expert. I'm more of a dot connector and a researcher. But I completely agree with her that the vaccine is nothing but paving the way for the vaccine passport, which will end up being about more than just your vaccine status. It will contain all of your personally identifiable information at some point.
Quoting you again here, of course you're writing literally dozens of articles, but I'm quoting you here. A former Trump aide, Peter Navarro, appearing on The War Room hosted by Steve Bannon, said, quote, "This is an authoritarian moment, a naked grab of power." That is actually commenting about Mr. Biden and his mandate of now almost a month ago. You go on to say the edicts, all done by executive order with no involvement of Congress, ignore the fact that more than a third of Americans have already had COVID and possess natural immunities. By the way, that's my experience, folks. You go on to say, according to a recent study in Israel, natural immunities are 12 to 20 times stronger and long-lasting than the artificial immunities offered by the Biden administration's vaccine. And then you say, author and longtime activist Dr. Naomi Wolf, appearing on the same show, called for massive peaceful civil disobedience to stop the tyrannical White House from following through with its threats. Wolf, a liberal, said Biden has now committed multiple impeachable offenses. And then you say Wolf said that this is a declaration of war on the American people and that Biden is the front man for what she calls a biofascist coup. She says, you're quoting her, he's scapegoating unvaccinated people as the reason for the pandemic. It's just right out of the playbook of Nazi Germany. It's illegal in our system to engage the military to make this coercive mass vaccination program happen. Leo, listeners are hearing this right now, and they're distressed, and rightfully so, saying, okay, but how do I come against the federal government who's laying down laws that I feel so helpless to even push back against?
It is unprecedented. Like we said earlier, the goal is to get every man, woman, and child vaccinated, even if you've already had COVID, even if you're a pregnant mother.
Yes.
The CDC just came out with a new statement encouraging more pregnant moms to get this vaccine. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who you are. Man, woman, and child, you must kneel before the needle and get what appears to be a sacramental rite of passage into this great reset. It is really a huge thing that we've never confronted before in our lives as 21st century American Western Christians. And so it is big and it is scary. I'm not going to deny that. But I think we do have to not run away and shunt our eyes from it. We have to see it for what it is. It is a worldwide battle between good and evil. And we must not turn our eyes. We must identify our enemy and know that it's global in scope. But then what do? We have to use our own human agency and our own free will that God gave us, number one, to study up on it. But number two, we have to peacefully non-comply and say no. Even if you already got the vaccine, say no to vaccine passports. If a business is saying you can't come in to shop here unless you show proof of vaccine, don't shop there, even if you're vaccinated. We must not comply with this New World Order system, or we're giving it more legs. We're giving it more veracity every time we comply with it. It's like the Jews in Nazi Germany. Mr. Ten Boom, in the story of Corey Ten Boom, he said, I'm a Jew, and he put on that star, even though he was not Jewish, because he didn't want to give legs to the evil system that was taking over his country. And I think we have to start to think of it that way.
And you quote Governor Henry McMaster, governor of South Carolina. He put out a message on social media saying he would not accept all of these edicts. And then he says this, quote, the American dream has turned into a nightmare under Joe Biden and the radical Democrats. They have declared war against capitalism, thumbed their nose at the Constitution, and empowered our enemies abroad. Rest assured, we will fight them to the gates of hell to protect the liberty and livelihood of everybody in South Carolina. Again, that's Governor Henry McMaster, governor of South Carolina. Well, here's where I want to go in part two of my program. Folks, I'm sure you are aware that Mr. Biden has upped the ante. He's told the military to get the injection or face dishonorable discharge. Dishonorable discharge just for not wanting to get an injection. We're going to talk about that, and I'm going to read just a couple of emails from Australia, because we need to be praying for folks down there, particularly our Christian brothers and sisters down in Australia, and there are many, and I hear from them almost daily. So we're going to get to all that in part two of our programming, so don't go away. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio. We have a special evening coming up with Pastor Billy Crone on Thursday, October 14th. You can attend in person or live stream the evening at no cost. Billy Crone, Jan Markell, and Pastor Mark Henry will talk current events, Bible prophecy, and more, and try to make sense of our times. If you would like to attend, the event will be held at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and begins at 7 p.m. on Thursday, October 14th. Doors open at 6 p.m. The address is 7849 West Broadway in Brooklyn Park, a northwest suburb of Minneapolis. Seating is first come, first served, though there is plenty of room. No tickets are required. You can live stream the evening at no cost by going to markhenryministries.com. That's markhenryministries.com. It will be posted to our website a few days later and to YouTube and Rumble. We are committed to helping you understand the times, contend for the faith, and be watchmen on the wall. So join us Thursday evening, October 14th. See you then.
All of these things are going on in America, only in smaller doses and in not as grand of a scale. I think it is a prototype because it's in full bloom there. We see there's just no restraint on it whatsoever.
In our closing segment, Jan and Leo Holman look at a trial run for the globalist, the nation of Australia. How can Western leaders justify the violation of basic human rights, all in the name of health safety? Jan and her guest ask if this will be exported to the rest of the free world. Here's the conclusion of today's programming.
Make no mistake, the overgovernance and disproportionate measures we see today in order to respond to a virus is a case of martial law masquerading as medical law. Measures like standing 1.5 metres away from someone, for God's sake, mandatory mask wearing, limits on visitors to your home, only allowed to leave for certain reasons. This is North Korean stuff. The worst part in New South Wales and federally, the so-called Liberal Party are in government, a political party built on freedom, which should be rejecting totally dictatorial rulings. Now, we've all seen and used these QR codes, the thing you do on your phone to sign in to a venue. This all says George Orwell 1984 stuff. What does Big Brother do with this data? It was implemented as a means to trace those who may have been in contact with someone infected with coronavirus. Again, a virus so bad, you need to be tested to know whether you've got it. And it was Queensland's Chief Health Officer, Dr. Jeanette Young, who let the cat out of the bag yesterday when she said, "We've had very few deaths due to COVID-19. That's correct. So why are governments being so alarmist? When it comes to QR codes and signing in, we're entitled to ask, what is the government doing with this information? Now, I informed you the other week of the revelations coming out of WA. Over there, police have been accessing the state's coronavirus contact tracing app data to assist in criminal investigations. This is despite Premier McGowan assuring West Australians that the data from the sign-in app would only be used in relation to coronavirus. Well, in New South Wales, this Stalinist sign-in nonsense will go further. Citizens will now be forced to check in to the government whenever they go to work or go out to get a takeaway coffee or groceries. This is martial law. Previously, QR codes have only been recommended but not required in retail settings. Now they'll be mandatory from July 12. Even schools will need QR codes so teachers and visitors can sign in. This is absurd. Prime Minister, this is not Australia.
Welcome back. So are we about to all become one giant QR code? I guess maybe it depends on how much we can push back. I'm going to talk more about that in this segment of the programming. We're moving our DVDs from the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference like crazy. Find them in my online store, olivetreeviews.org. Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, yours truly, Barry Stagner, Michelle Bachman, Q&A, interviews, prophecy roundtable, all of that. It's on our DVDs, just $20 plus shipping. Give my office a call. We'll get those out to you very promptly. I want to get right back into my discussion now with Leo Homan. Learn more at leohoman.com, H-O-H-M-A-N-N. Leo, quickly going back to Mr. Biden's speech, this is now several weeks ago, but it stays in my mind and will forever. And in that speech where he was stating just how much of America has to be vaccinated, in the speech he said that we should forget freedom and forget personal choice. Well, just a moment here. If we're going to forget freedom and forget choice, and he says you will do what you are told, no matter what, you're going to have to do what you're told. You have no say in this. There's no issue here about freedom. There's no issue. I feel like I'm in, like that little clip from an Australian, I feel like I'm in North Korea.
I recently wrote, Jan, that September 9th speech by Joe Biden was the announcement of the arrival of communism in America.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, most people don't want to go there and admit it, but that's where we're at. And I personally have huge doubts as to whether or not we will ever have another free and fair election in this country, because if you look at history, whenever a communist regime gets power, it doesn't relinquish it. It doesn't hold free and fair elections, whether it be communist Cuba, Soviet Russia, North Korea, China. They give you a choice of three or four candidates, but they're all basically the same, and they're all communist. The way it seems to be working here is in the primaries we get a choice, but when it gets to the general election, everything seems to have an engineered outcome. I personally think it's the end of free America. I could be wrong, and I certainly hope that I'm wrong. That speech on September the 9th, that was a seminal moment that reaffirmed my thinking that, yes, it must be over, because that's not the way that any democratically elected leader talks. He doesn't talk, number one, with such a condescending tone, and he certainly doesn't use the language that Mr. Biden used. He said that we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Yeah.
He said that if you're a Republican governor and you oppose us, I will use my power to, quote, move you out of the way. This is not the way any politician talks in a true democracy, or certainly not a republic. It just reaffirmed my worst thoughts.
then he went on, this is a couple of weeks later, and he upped the ante and he told the military to get jabbed or face dishonorable discharge. It's one thing to be discharged from the military, but a dishonorable discharge is so upping the ante, and he's now requesting that every U.S. service member who rejects his mandatory injection of an experimental gene therapy should face dishonorable discharge. This amounts, I think, to a declaration of war on these soldiers because it's difficult, if not impossible, to even get a civilian job with that stain on your record. That, to me, was a big shock factor when that happened, Leo.
Right. He's not talking like anyone who's worried about an election coming up in 2022 or an election coming up in 2024. He's talking like a dictator talks. Get this medical treatment, whether it's good or bad. Let's even lay that aside for a moment. When in America were we ever forced to get a certain medical treatment against our will, out of fear of losing your job or out of fear of losing your university education, and now out of fear of losing your military status? And this is a serious thing. 220,000 military service members say they don't want this. This is roughly 25-30% of our men and women in uniform say they don't want this. So by him saying you will get this or be dishonorably discharged, that's yet to play out, by the way. I don't want to give listeners the impression that that is definitely going to happen. It's just been threatened at this point that he will give them a dishonorable discharge. And what does that mean? They are now a criminal. They have the social status of a drug dealer. So those are fighting words to a military man or woman to say that you're going to give them a dishonorable discharge because you're saying that they're a criminal. This is not going to play out in a pretty way. It's going to get ugly if Mr. Biden follows through with his threat.
Well, I think he will. Depends on how much pushback he gets and even pushback from the courts. Hopefully that will happen. You write about another issue that I've been very outspoken on. I even talked about this at the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference back in September at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. DHS, Department of Homeland Security, issues terror alert equating Americans who oppose government COVID restrictions, equating them with 9/11 terrorists. Leo, conservatives are now terrorists. That's my conclusion here. And we can do business with the Taliban. That's what I keep hearing. We can do business with the Taliban, we can trust the Taliban, etc. But conservatives are now under the microscope being inspected. Conservatives are now on terror lists. See, I often say I never thought I'd see the day, but this is the ultimate I never thought I'd see the day.
It's right out there in the open now. They don't hide it anymore, Jan. We've had liberals, maybe even socialists and some communists in our government for decades, but they always operated with cloak and dagger. Behind the scenes, couching their language in terms that would sound malleable to the average American ear. But they're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that they believe that they're very close to putting the nail in the coffin and openly declaring this some kind of communist dictatorship. They're not quite to that point yet, but they are much more brazen. They're coming out and saying things they would not have thought to say even 5 years ago. Equating Trump voters and people who doubted the outcome of the 2020 election with 9/11 terrorists and people who opposed the government's COVID measures as terrorists, that's what they're saying openly on this DHS alert, which went out in August, and I wrote about it around mid-August.
Folks, if you just join me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. I have on the line from Georgia, Leo Homan. He's an independent investigative journalist. He's written a tremendous book as well. You can learn much more about everything that he's involved in at leohoman.com. Sign up and get his articles that come out once to twice a week. I'm quickly morphing here to the New York Post. Let me just read two paragraphs. Australia's insane COVID rules are a warning to the rest of the free world. Once an honorable member of the free world, Australia has lurched into a bizarre and disturbing netherworld of bureaucratic oppression in the name of public health. Australia's lockdown mania has been so all-consuming that one assumes much of it would make Anthony Fauci even blush. This is the New York Post that I'm quoting. At the start of the pandemic, Australia determined to squeeze out COVID with lockdowns and travel restrictions. As an island nation had considerable success, it was the last of the G20 countries to hit 1,000 total deaths, and the article concludes, but this created an unrealistic expectation that Australia could have COVID zero as a goal for the duration and use targeted restrictions and surveillance to maintain it. As the pandemic has dragged on, this has become completely untenable and done violence to liberty and common sense in a great English-speaking nation. I want to play one more clip here. It is coming out of Australia. I want to come back and I want to discuss it because I believe it is the goal of the One Worlders that every country become Australia, including America. And how on earth have we transitioned so dramatically from the land of the free and the home of the brave to something like you're going to hear about here? At least this is what the globalists would like us to become.
After a week of rolling protests, Premier Daniel Andrews needs to outline an opening up plan and give people something to look forward to. Victoria is set to become the city that's been in lockdown more than any other place in the world. Remember when Daniel Andrews said Melbourne was going into a short, sharp lockdown, unlike New South Wales?
You only get one chance to go hard and go fast. If you wait, if you hesitate, if you doubt, then you will always be looking back wishing you had done more earlier. I am not prepared to avoid a five-day lockdown now only to find ourselves in a five-week or a five-month lockdown. That's why we're making this very difficult decision.
Well, that was more than 2 months ago, and people are now becoming fed up. Yet despite the clear uprising, you have premiers refusing to lift restrictions, even when vaccination rates hit that 80% figure. None of us want to live in a community with COVID, but we can't stay in lockdown forever. Businesses can't survive, families can't survive, it's just not possible. And yet even with these lockdowns, Melbourne's case numbers are continuing to rise. Well, they're becoming almost as close as Sydney's. 779 cases in Victoria today compared to 961 in New South Wales. Daniel Andrews attributes this to lockdown fatigue.
I think fatigue in our community is a very real thing. I'm not excusing bad behaviour, but I'm trying to explain it. That's why it's so hard, but so important that we just see this thing through.
And the Queensland Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, has no desire to open up either her state or international borders anytime soon, irrespective of the vaccination rate.
Well, where are you going to go? Are you going to go to India? In Tokyo, you have to sit in Perspex screens with masks on, and if you remove your mask, you can't talk while you're eating. Yes, in Europe, some people are travelling. I think the federal government needs to identify very clearly what are the countries that Australians can travel to.
We are seeing no clear direction here from the premiers at all. Queensland and WA are intent on keeping out COVID, but what is the foreseeable future look like? What does the plan look like? There is no long-term vision here. And it's all very well for our politicians who make these rules because they're jet-setting around the world themselves. There have been dozens of overseas trips taken so far by the likes of Scott Morrison, Dan Tehan, Maurice Payne, Peter Dutton, even Anastasia Palaszczuk herself. Government business and Australia's national security is very important, but so are private businesses. So are the lives of every person in this country, yet they are banned from travelling for work or to see family, and Australians living overseas still haven't been able to make it home. And this is part of the reason why we're starting to see those rolling protests in Melbourne, that uprising. Even the pictures on Sydney on the weekend of people, they've just had enough of the lockdown. They're getting out and about, living their lives as normal. Everyone has had enough of the lockdowns and enough of the hypocrisy.
Once you get to 80% of your population that's vaccinated, well, it's very clear. I can't see any reason why Australians should be kept from each other. And so that puts a heavy responsibility on those who would seek to prevent that from happening.
That was Scott Morrison just this morning. And those protesting the laws in Melbourne this week were dealt with by rubber bullets, tear gas and violence. They were ugly scenes by every measure. Ugly violence from the police and despicable actions from the protesters were those who chose to desecrate the Shrine of Remembrance. You look at Australia right now and it's a mess. And you have to ask, Where does this all end?
Let me add quickly that I follow weekly online updates from Curtis Bowers, producer of the Agenda documentary that we carry. In his update from a week or two ago, he reminded viewers that Australia has been a testing ground for the globalists. They feel the island continent is sort of a captive audience. Curtis Bowers says that the Australians are literally guinea pigs for the one-worlders, and the reason the leaders of that country can be bullies to the Australians is that the people allowed their guns to be taken away back in 1996. The government told the people that to reduce crime and ensure their safety, they had to confiscate all weapons. Authorities know they can abuse the people who do not have weapons. So Bowers reminds Americans, do not allow that to happen here, ever. The minute we lose our ability to protect ourselves, he says, the leftists and American leadership will do the same as the Australian authorities are doing. That is, turn on the people and exercise complete totalitarianism. Just a couple of emails let me read from followers of this ministry living in Australia. Amanda writes, I live in Victoria. It certainly is madness here. We have been locked up for the most part of 2 years, not being able to see family as the rules don't allow us to go more than 5 kilometers from our houses. I'm not going to go on with all the ridiculous rules. I would like to thank you all and some pastors and other teachers for giving me such knowledge and comfort during these dark days. And then she concludes, also, I'm a born-again believer. I go to a Pentecostal church when it is open. She says, starting this November, we will no longer be able to go to church. We will no longer be able to shop, go to a cafe, any activities, even work, if we are not double vaccinated. And then she says, we have been on a curfew, not allowed to leave home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. We cannot travel outside of our state. I cannot even go and visit my elderly parents. And then she concludes, people are being silenced about saying anything. If someone posts on social media within a short time, police show up and the posts are taken down. I feel sorry for people who don't know the Lord. Thankfully, I have hope in our Lord. Only online shopping and take-away food. So many businesses have closed their doors, such as most hospitality, small business owners, etc. Then I've got another email here. Let me read. This gal, Jovita, says, can I ask you to please pray for Australia at this time? You may have received news about the fascist state moving in Australia, especially in Melbourne. The Leviathan is showing its ugly head. We, the Christians, are fighting. We need your support. She says, we know that the devil is like a roaring lion, walking around seeking those he can devour. Particularly in Victoria, the fascist government under Daniel Andrew requires 80% vaccinated people before we loosen the lockdown rule. Yet even at that stage, they only allow 50 vaccinated people to be at church. She says the Victoria government is mandating the jab to nurses, teachers, and people in the construction industry. The police, mainstream media have banded together to protect the fascist government. They are spreading lies and slandering the peace protesters. And you may have heard about police brutality on the unarmed protesters. And then she says, the TGA, which is similar to your FDA, is banning ivermectin as COVID treatment. They threaten to revoke the license of any doctor who is prescribing ivermectin, a known cure. Even if a doctor is willing to prescribe it, there is no supply in the market. Yet we have heard from whistleblowers that the hospitals are giving ivermectin to the hospitalized patients who have been vaccinated and putting unvaxxed people on a ventilator. The good news is that people are waking up. We have politicians standing up, faithful churches praying, people taking a stand. Many prodigals are returning back to the Lord. Some were awakened by the Holy Spirit himself. And I'm going to go to one more email, and then I want to get back to my guest here so we can wrap up this program. Jenny writes, things are going from bad to worse here in Australia. The state of New South Wales is planning to sign off on this vaccination system for churches, so that they only allow vaccinated people to attend. We have no strong church leadership to stand up against this. 21,000 church attendees and members, plus almost 3,000 church leaders, signed the Ezekiel Declaration, an open letter to Prime Minister Scott Morrison expressing concern over digital passports being introduced into the community and potentially into gatherings that will include churches. Unfortunately, key evangelical conservatives did not support this, and have sought to undercut this initiative, we would appreciate prayers, please, for Christians and leaders to rise up in Australia and stand against the evil surrounding us. We are giving in without a fight. If I have time, I might read one more, but I want to stop right there. Leo Homan, Australia seems to be the epicenter of all of this consternation concerning the injection. It's sort of the prototype of the coming New World Order. Give me your thoughts.
It absolutely is, Jan, and you listen to some of the reporting going on in that clip you played, and it really is heart-wrenching and gut-wrenching. She talked about ugly actions from the police. She talked about the mainstream media fomenting this false narrative about the virus and everything the government is doing is proper and correct and these protesters are the bad, evil people. She talked about all of these things, ivermectin being targeted for not to be used against the unvaccinated while they're giving it to the vaccinated.
Right.
All of these things are going on in America, only in smaller doses and in not as grand of a scale. I think it is a prototype because it's in full bloom there. We see there's just no restraint on it whatsoever. We see it going on there in Australia, but not only in Australia. We see similar going on in Germany, in Canada, in Israel,
where you have
to show a green pass in order to get into a store or a restaurant. All of this, I think we should expect to be coming here in the months ahead. And the church is going to be key to this, and I'm not getting good vibes from some of the American church leaders. The Gospel Coalition and Tim Keller came out with a statement saying that churches should implement vaccine passports for worshipers to enter. Of course, you've got Pope Francis saying similar things. He's issued vaccine passports, implemented them for people entering Vatican City. So you've got these church leaders who unfortunately seem to be right in line with these government and corporate New World Order, One World Order, Great Reset pushers. Here we feel like we are the minority. I don't think that we should expect it to get better anytime soon. I think Christians should expect persecution to intensify, especially against traditionally minded Christians and Jews. We've seen it in New York City where the mayor there went specifically after Orthodox Jewish communities. People like that who believe in the Bible and put that as foremost in their lifestyle in terms of what they believe is right and what they believe is wrong. And they don't jump to the tune of some unelected health official who tells them they need a digital passport in order to enter a business or in order to open their own business. This is what we're up against. It's going to get worse, but don't lose hope. God is on our side. If we truly follow His word and His precepts as spelled out in the Bible, we may be persecuted, but we will go through the persecution, Jan. And I do believe that there's going to be light on the other side at some point. Unfortunately, I can't predict when.
We certainly can ask my listening audience, we need prayer warriors. We need to pray against this terrible evil that's trying to come upon society. Is it too late? I don't know, folks. Obviously, the Great Reset is kicking into motion. I personally believe the Great Reset is going to blossom in the tribulation. I said blossom in the tribulation. That doesn't mean we might not see a lot of foreshadowing of this Great Reset. What we're going through now is the setup for the Great Reset. Leo Homan, the other thing is, we're on a rescue mission. The church is on a rescue. You and I, we're on rescue missions. We want as many to be saved as possible while there is time. This is a great opportunity to win folks to the Lord. I know you would agree.
I absolutely do, Jan. In previous months and previous years, some of us traditionally minded Christian believers, we got looked at by family members and friends as somewhat out there on the fringe because we said certain things were just forerunners to even worse things. Well, now we see even worse things happening. As this trend continues, I think some of those people are going to reconsider, and I've already seen signs of it, Jan, where some of my friends who thought maybe I was a little bit out there on the fringe last year, now they're asking me for advice on what they should do, how they should prepare. So that's a great way to segue into evangelization and sharing the gospel.
Somebody sent me some comments here that I'm just going to share with you. A little saying, I didn't come up with it. It says, keep your poise, stay calm, be cool, trust God. A lying media or a corrupt Washington establishment might be frustrating, even agonizing, but God says not to fret over them. Psalm 37 goes on to say, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Trust also in him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. In God, we are the ones with real power, so let us act in confident joy rather than worry or fear. This is a good time to read all of this psalm, to be honest, and then read it again. Do not fret because of evildoers. Commit your way to God, trust, delight, and rest in him. Let him be your strength in time of trouble. Yes, we are in times of trouble, folks. There is a way out. There is a lifeboat. We are on a rescue mission. The lifeboat in the Bible times was the ark. Noah and the righteous people were spared on the ark. I truly believe that the absolute worst of everything up ahead is post-rapture, the church removed from it. But in the meantime, the Bible verse out of Psalm 31, I trust in you, O Lord, our times are in your hands. Folks, I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Without an eternal and a prophetic perspective on our times, we will grow weary. If we see how God is orchestrating things to fall into their prophesied end-time scenario, we can confidently and even joyfully press on.